the Daily Gopher Football Podcast. So devastated from the loss to Iowa, we had to take a week off or something like that. I am Jeff Rick. He, as always, is JD Mill. Big show this week. We're blowing it out. Two guests this week. We will have the one, the only, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. Covers the Big Ten for ESPN. We will have him on. We also talk with Chad, who does a great job over at Off Tackle Empire. He is the Northwestern-centric guy there and covers many things. We'll talk to both of those gentlemen at separate times about this week's big matchup and plenty of other things we get into. JD, good to be back with you. We just couldn't really do a podcast last week in the state we were in, I think.
Yeah, I needed a full week of recovery just to get over how angry I was at after the Iowa game. But it's good to be back. A little time, a little perspective is probably good for any Gopher fan, any sports fan after that type of game. And I am more than ready to see the boys take the field against Northwestern this week.
I needed a week to recover just from being in Iowa. That place is different, let me say.
It's like different.
It's like the clock just stopped at like 1982 and nobody noticed and nobody cares. It's really how it feels.
That's just the single best way, the nicest way that you could say what you really wanted to say. Iowa is just different.
And I got to say, like, I know there's a charm. I'm sure there's a charm to Kinnick the way there's probably charm to go for basketball fans to the barn, but was not that impressed with it. It's pretty old. They haven't done a ton to upgrade it. Although I gotta say though, it makes more sense why Iowa fans travel to have sex in bathrooms, because the bathroom I went into at Kinnick, and it was a men's bathroom, I checked, all stalls. The entire thing was stalls. No trough, no anything. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Apparently that's just how they roll at Kinnick.
It is. The bathrooms do leave a bit to be desired. It's been a few years since I've been there by myself, but I do recall the situation being, like you said, not quite up to the standards that you would hope.
Like, we're not quite up to the standards of the 21st century, but again, it's Iowa. That's probably the best they've got going. I will say though, their fans weren't bad. I was expecting just over the top, ridiculous, obnoxious, arrogant, the usual stuff we get when they're up here, but they weren't bad. I don't know if that was just the start that they were off and they didn't want to, get themselves in trouble by talking and then look bad or what, but they actually weren't bad at all.
Yeah, they didn't have anything to be arrogant about going into the game, so that doesn't surprise me at all. And hopefully you didn't have to deal with too many of them after the game.
No, that was the thing. Even afterwards, I'm guessing they were just so happy that they won, we didn't even get that much of a hard time. So it definitely could have been worse.
Well, I'm glad you made it out alive.
I was going to say, I think I've seen Kinnick and I don't need to go back anytime soon. I've done that experience, so.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. The Gophers probably feel the same way.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Haven't won since 99. You can see why in the game. Been a couple weeks since really we focused a lot on the team and how it went. It's one of those games where things fell apart on them early and the pressure got to them. Iowa made a couple nice plays. That, much as it kills me to say it, that flea flicker was a call of genius. Whoever had that one, it was perfectly timed. It worked, and that kind of opened the floodgates for them. But I don't know. They're regrouped. They've had 2 weeks off. Jerry Kill with a bye week is going to have them coming in prepared. Confidence will be back up. Certainly they'll be angry, and I think they'll be ready to go here against Northwestern.
Yeah, I definitely do too. I mean, looking back, I wrote something about it over at Off Tackle Empire today. The Iowa fans were obviously way up in arms about what I had to write, but essentially that the Gopher defense got back to playing like the Gopher defense had played in the first four games, except for like a 9-minute stretch, or even if you set aside the whole second quarter against Iowa. The first quarter and the entire second half, the Gopher defense played like they've played the first four games of the year. So, the Iowa took advantage of some things that they saw. They pounced on us early, got ahead, and really, obviously kind of got in our heads as well. But overall, I didn't think the defense played a horrible game. They rebounded pretty well in the second half, and I look for them to make adjustments and hopefully be much better against a Northwestern offense that definitely has the talent to do some things that Iowa doesn't.
Kind of strange, really, because everyone's pointing at the linebackers as being a weak spot on that defense. And, I mean, gosh, coming into the season, we were talking about the secondary, about the defensive line. With all that experience at linebacker, that's the one place you thought would be fine. But I don't know if it's the size or they're just not athletic or getting to places as they want to be. But they weren't great in the first 4 weeks. And, boy, that game against Iowa, they were almost invisible. It seems like the secondary were making all the tackles, at least on the times that they actually got the Wiseman.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, this is a defense that, at least in some sense, it has a bit of a bend but don't break mentality, and they just got beat. They broke down on some plays against Iowa. You know, the flea flicker obviously is the number one example, but the drive directly before that and directly after that, Wiseman just really ran over the Gophers and had a couple of really big runs that resulted in, I think, about 70 yards and then chipped away the rest of the game. But, you know, I just think, yeah, like you said, that they got behind. They were put in a position that we weren't put in before in being behind against a team and also being on the road. And I think another thing that we learned was about this offense. This offense is not built to come from behind, especially with Max Tortell at quarterback. So I think hopefully we learned a lot of things that we can use going forward.
I hope so too. Final point in the Iowa game for me is that the person I feel the worst for in all this is got to be the Floyd of Rosedale. He had it so good for the last 2 years in Minnesota, and now he's unfortunately got to go back to Iowa and is going to be there for a year. That sucks for Floyd, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, and you know, Minnesota Nice, we're givers. We gave the ball to the Hawkeyes 4 times. We pretty much gave them Floyd. You know, this is a program that's growing. As Jerry Kill loves to say, this is a team that's young. And I think hopefully the team can continue to improve every week, really learn something from this game. Hopefully they absolutely detest the way they felt during and after that game, and they can use that to get some energy for the coming weeks.
It's Daily Gopher Football Podcast. We are back. First guest this week is the main writer for the Big Ten blog on ESPN.com. He's the original guy. He shares it with that Notre Dame loving Brian Bennett. And he also happens to be an alum of the Gophers' opponent this week, the Northwestern Wildcats. We have Adam Wittenberg nice enough to join us. Adam, thanks for being on.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Here we sit in the season with Gophers Northwestern, kind of a game into it. Thoughts, I guess, on our very beloved Golden Gophers to this point, the second point in Jerry Kill's year. From your perspective as a guy who kind of sees the entire conference, how do you see things gone so far?
Yeah, I think they've gone really well. I mean, Jerry Kill was a guy that came in. I know he wasn't Minnesota's first choice, but I think he's going to turn out to be the guy that turns that program around. A lot of coaches were in the Big Ten that I spoke to when he was hired, just thought the world of him and think the world of him. And I think you're seeing the improvement that he's fostered at other jobs take place at Minnesota. You know, 4 wins already this year, more than they had each of the past 2 years. Obvious improvement on the defensive side, seeing them run the ball a little bit better. Some of the younger players are stepping up. So I think the future is bright for Minnesota. You know, whether they fully turn the corner this year and get back to a bowl or, you know, win eight games, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I definitely see things in a Minneapolis.
So you brought up the defense, and it's interesting that you mentioned that because there was a bit of a gnashing of teeth in Gopher Nation after the Iowa game. And, you know, there's a bit of a back and forth. You know, this is a team that right now ranks in the top half of the Big Ten in scoring defense and total defense. But a team that gave up 21 points in the first, or 24 points, excuse me, in the first half to Iowa. So what are your thoughts? You said it's a much improved defense. Do you feel like this is a top half of the conference type of defense, or is that a mirage because of the non-conference schedule?
Well, I think we're going to find out here going forward as Minnesota continues to face some pretty good offenses. You know, this week with Northwestern, you know, they'll have Michigan, you know, eventually. Wisconsin may have things together offensively more than they had at the beginning of the year by the time the Gophers go to Madison. So we'll have a better gauge of it going forward. I thought they played great against Syracuse. You know, that's an NFL quarterback in Nassib, at least a guy that's evaluated as such, and they really shut down the Orange in that ball game. And yeah, I just seeing guys making more plays. I mean, we've heard about Rashid Hageman for years, way back to Coach Brew, and he just was a non-factor. And now he's stepping up and pressuring the quarterback and putting himself in the box score. Same with D.L. Wilhite. So, yeah, that's a good sign. I don't know if the linebackers are where they need to be ultimately for Minnesota's defense to turn a corner. That's an area that I'm still not sold on. But I do think with the development of guys like Wells in the secondary and some other guys, they have better athletes. They're making more plays back there, which is encouraging, even if it's not always translating to wins every week. But again, I think it's still somewhat of an incomplete grade. It looks good so far, but like as you guys said, you know, there's still some better teams, better offenses coming up, which will really give us a sense of where the program is on defense.
Adam, I'm a fan, so I'm kind of can be biased in this kind of stuff from time to time. But looking at the matchup against Northwestern, am I crazy for thinking Minnesota's defense might match up a little better with Northwestern's offense, even though they put up more points and more yards than Iowa's just because of the style? Am I crazy something there?
Yeah, with the spread, I mean, most defenses don't match up well with the spread. That's why you're seeing it everywhere around the country. You know, I think, you know, defenses that see it more often in practice, like Minnesota's, I think do have a bit of an advantage over, say, you know, Michigan State or an Iowa or Wisconsin, you know, that goes against their own offense. Brett Bielema this week was talking about how a few years ago they made a switch and started practicing against the spread scout team back in the spring just because they knew they'd be facing it a lot more. So, you know, I mean, Minnesota's got assets in space. They're not going to be completely fooled by the things Northwestern does. But, you know, I think the spread is still a very tough scheme to defend unless you have truly an elite defense. I don't think Minnesota's quite there yet. It's hard to make plays in space, you know, especially against a team with multiple playmakers. But, you know, Iowa did control the line of scrimmage. I think Iowa's got a better offensive line than Northwestern. I think they have a slightly better quarterback, you know, in Vandenberg, but I think Northwestern has more overall playmakers on their offense than Iowa. I mean, Iowa right now, it's Wiseman and who else? Whereas Northwestern's got Coulter, they have Mark, they have some pretty good receivers, multiple running backs. So they have more ways to attack a defense, I believe, than Iowa does.
They definitely do have better weapons. And on that question, talk a little bit about the balance between Coulter and Semien. And you know, Northwestern, a quarterback like Coulter is somebody that's traditionally given the Gopher defense fits. But we should be able to, as Jeffrick mentioned, match up a little bit better with them. But what are your thoughts heading into it?
Well, it's been a unique season, guys, for Northwestern. This is sort of the case last year because of Dan Peirce's ongoing injury issues. But, you know, this is the first year where they've really played, you know, two quarterbacks. They haven't had one guy that's, you know, passing the ball a ton and really being the only guy under center for them. You know, Coulter's been much more of a runner zone read type guy this year. Isn't throwing a lot of passes at all. That's been more Semien. I think they see Semien as the future as far as a passing quarterback. Part of that has to do with the fact Coulter is probably their best receiver. Even though they have some pretty decent receivers on the team, he's outstanding in the slot. And you saw that against Indiana where he was getting open whenever he wanted and running the zone read and killing them. He's running the zone read, guys, right now better than almost anyone in the league, maybe next to Robinson and Miller. He's really taken that element of his game to the next level. But if he's not passing the ball particularly well, and Semien is not at the level of a Dan Persa or a Mike Kafka or some of the other quarterbacks they've had there. So, you know, they're not as automatic, let's say, on third and medium, third and short as they were in the past. And if Minnesota can get them in those situations and put pressure on a still young quarterback on the road, I think they have a real good shot to win this game. But you know, Coulter and Venrick Mark has really been the big difference for Northwestern. They haven't had attack at all. the best, you know, 09, really the last three seasons, and he's provided a lot of that this year in addition to what he can do on the returns.
You talk about their excellent two-headed quarterback. They've got it at Northwestern. Minnesota has one really by default since Marquise Gray did the ankle. Max Shortell has stepped in, did well until the last week in Iowa. Sounds like Gray pretty unlikely to go in the game on Saturday. If it's got to be Shortell again, how do you see the Minnesota offense doing with him at the helm?
Well, I think they still have a lot of confidence in him. You know, it seems like some of the receivers have emerged. You know, guys kind of coming out of nowhere like Barker and Tufts, you know, they have more weapons there than they had last year for sure when it was just Marquise and nobody else. So I think you know, Shortell, being back at home, having 2 weeks to prepare, it should come out and play a little bit better than he did at Iowa. You know, he finished the game okay, but he kind of put the team in the hole there early with some interceptions. So, you know, I don't expect them to take a ton of chances. I think they're going to rely on their defense, hopefully be able to spark their running game with Kirkwood. Again, Penn State ran the ball pretty well. It has been a strength of their defense to defend the run more than rush the passer. So, you know, I think the time off and having a couple of weeks to prepare should help out Max.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about the game here. I'm starting to feel a little more comfortable with you, Adam, so I'm just going to come right out and ask it. Why does Brian Bennett hate the Gophers?
None of you think we all hate everybody. If you guys, I mean, we according to you, everyone else, hate every team in the league, and we're homers. You know, Brian doesn't hate the Gophers. Actually, we were both pretty fired up about the start. We were hoping maybe we'd finally get a trip up to Minneapolis. It's a hard sell in Bristol, but you know, I haven't been up there for a few years. Brian's never been up there, so you know, we are not against the Gophers in any way. We're excited about their coaching staff and a lot of their players, and they've been good to us over the years as far as media stuff. So no bias there at all. But again, we're going to be honest. If things are going well, you'll find out about it on the blog, and if they're not, you'll also find out about it.
Fair enough.
You have obviously a pretty unique job getting to cover the conference like you do. You talk about hate mail and biases and that kind of stuff and giving, you know, honest critiques and people seeing it as hating your teams. But is there a school that you get the most mail from and a Big Ten school that you get the least from?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the least is probably Indiana, not surprisingly. Just not a lot of football fans there just because the struggles, you know, over time. It's more of a basketball-centric school. Same with Illinois. I don't hear a lot from their fans. I actually hear a decent amount from Minnesota despite some of the recent struggles. You're wanting us to come up there and wondering why we hate their team and so forth. But, yeah, I'd say for the most part, the Iowa fans participate a lot, Ohio State fans, Michigan, Nebraska fans have been a nice addition to the blog. Penn State, we've had our issues with them, not surprisingly, recently, but they've also appreciated some of our team coverage. So, you know, it just kind of depends. I mean, Penn State fans loved me in 2008. Not surprisingly, their team won the league, and they weren't so fond in 2010. It's just how it works. Your team is doing well. People tend to write in, and they love you. And when your team's not, you know, you hate them, and you have some, you know, deep-seated bias against their team, which is just not true.
I should ask you as well, you mentioned Penn State. Were you have you been more surprised with the way they started their season, getting off to a sluggish start, or the way that they've rebounded, especially with Matt McGloin playing better?
Well, I think the rebound has been, you know, really surprising and encouraging for Penn State. I mean, 0-2, you know, they shouldn't have lost that game at Virginia, and everyone was pretty much writing them off. But you know, Bill O'Brien hasn't let them quit, and you know, to their credit, I think the seniors have played a big role in it. They've turned it around and won four games in a row, and McGloin just looked like a different quarterback. And the guy was one of the worst in the Big Ten last year, playing in, I think, the worst offense or one of the worst offenses. And then now he's up in the national leaders in efficiency and not throwing interceptions and making good decisions. And, you know, he pretty much won the game at the end there for Penn State against Northwestern. So, it's a tribute to Bill O'Brien. I think Penn State's got a better coach than the guy they thought they were getting back in January. With the help of those seniors, Michael Motti is playing out of this world, All-America type level at linebacker. The offensive line has improved. We mentioned McGloin. They got a star out of nowhere in wide receiver Allen Robinson. So, you know, Penn State's exceeding, I think, most of our expectations. Whether they can keep it going or not remains to be seen. The schedule definitely gets tougher going forward. They have Iowa on the road at night, and they got Ohio State at home. They have to go to Nebraska. So it's getting tougher going forward, but Penn State has to feel a lot better than it did about a month ago.
A couple of questions here, Adam, before we wrap it up. First, I'm interested, you've been doing this a while. You are a Northwestern alum. I mean, do you get an opportunity to take off your journalist cap and cheer for the Wildcats a little bit, or have you been doing this long enough now where it's the job, just the job when you're watching the games?
Yeah, I love all those assumptions. I'm a big Wildcat fan. I root for people in the field, and there's people at every school that I root for, but that's not the way it goes in this job. You can't root for anyone that's not going to serve you well at all. So, I think at times I'll defend the Big Ten when it's appropriate or one of its schools, but I tend to root for people. There's some good people at Minnesota, there's some good people at Northwestern, there's some good people, everywhere at the league, the people that have overcome stuff. And those are the kind of guys you root for, but you don't root for any team in this job.
Last two questions then. One I would like to ask you, but we already know the answer, is how much of an upgrade has Jerry Kill been over Tim Brewster? Obviously, that's not scalable is the correct answer there. But how do you see things playing out Saturday? Who's coming out of CCF Bank Stadium with a victory?
Yeah, one thing I would say just about Jerry, again, I remember I was actually having dinner with Jim Tressel, of all people, a few weeks before he resigned. And he was, kind of before we started talking, he even brought up that Jerry Kill was a great hire. He was even concerned about how good Minnesota was going to be because that they really went out and made the right hire. So I think all Gopher fans should feel pretty good about the direction. And he just has a ton of respect around the league. I would not say the same for your last coach, and so I think that's a good sign going forward. As far as this game this week, a lot of people say that teams come off open weeks and it's a big advantage, but the statistics have shown over time that it's either little advantage or no advantage. So I don't know if that helps Minnesota too much, especially if Marquise isn't back. But I do think they're going to perform better this week. Being at home, should be a good crowd and everything. Shortell, I think, will settle down a little bit. Ultimately, I think Northwestern's offense is going to get more back on track than they were against Penn State. Only 61 plays. It's the lowest number they've had in a while. I know they want to get at least 80 plays in, and they have had some success in every game except for Penn State. So I have Northwestern winning. I close game, but certainly could go either way. Could come down to turnovers, could come down to special teams, and I think both teams will perform better than they did the last time out.
Well, I appreciate the opinion. That obviously confirms that both you and Brian hate Minnesota, so now we know that. So
there you go.
No kidding, right? Well, hey, we appreciate you being on. We quote you often, we link to you often, we know people read, so we really appreciate you taking the time here.
You guys do a great job. Thanks for having me on.
Cruising along on the Daily Gopher podcast. Next up, as we have a double guest week here for Northwestern, we've got kind enough to join us from Off-Tackle Empire. He is the Northwestern-centric guy on the blog and yet another lawyer. Chad is on with us, and nice to join. Chad, thanks for being on with us here tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We try not to lawyer up this podcast too much. So, if you start throwing any phrases out like that, we might have to, impeach you or whatever the lawyer phrase is, to keep you in check. So just bear in mind, we've got those restrictions on things here.
It sounds good to me. I'll try not to use recipes, a loquitur or anything else too often. So, I'll just keep it on the straight and narrow here.
That's good. You lost me at try not to use. So whatever that other stuff was, I'm sure it was important. You've been on Off-Tackle Empire for a little while now. Tell folks about kind of your Northwestern Wildcat fandom background and how you got yourself to Off-Tackle Empire.
I came to become a fan of Northwestern right around 1995, which is pretty much the start of college football. I was, looking at colleges at the time, and Northwestern was high on my list because I, been born in Chicago and loved the idea of moving. I grew up in Florida, but I was born in Chicago, and loved the idea of moving up to a big city and stuff. I was looking at Northwestern, and that happened to be the year they beat Notre Dame, and pretty much from that moment on, my fandom was sealed because I hate Notre Dame. So So, yeah, so I started following him that year and then started there in 1997 just to see, you know, kind of the, you know, Gary Barnett era kind of fall apart. And then, you know, my senior year was 2000, which was, you know, just a crazy year to be a Northwestern fan. It was the third Big Ten title in, I think, you know, 5 years. And, you know, I was there for the 54-51 Northwestern Michigan game. I was watching Victory Wright when it happened against Minnesota that year in the Metrodome. And so ever since then, I've been a big fan. And then, when I moved back to Chicago in 2006 after law school, the next season or two seasons later, I started DJing for the football team and I was the stadium DJ up until this season. And then I started writing for Off-Tackle Empire a couple years ago. Just kind of found the site and really enjoyed, you know, talking Big Ten football. And eventually Graham and Jonathan asked me to join on. So that's pretty much my background.
Is it true that if you graduate high school in Florida, it automatically makes you eligible for SEC schools? Is that true? Is that all? I'm kidding. Yeah. I love to poke fun at the SEC.
Well, my little brother is actually a Florida State alum, so you know, my whole family is pretty much rooting against the SEC. So.
Well, that's good. You guys have got your priorities in the right places. That's for sure.
Good. So, listen, we wanted to have two guests on the podcast this week. You know, our thought was Northwestern is really overachieving this year. We should really roll out the welcome mat and overachieve on the podcast and have two guests, so you being the second guest. So the first question I have for you, Chad, right off the bat is Northwestern is 5-1, just lost a tough game to Penn State. Give us kind of a capsule of the first 6 weeks of the season for Northwestern. What's gone well, what maybe hasn't gone so well, and how you feel about the team versus maybe what your expectations were coming into the season.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, if you ask any Northwestern fan, you know, this question kind of, if you ask this before the season, hey, you're 5-1 going into playing Minnesota, and your only loss is to Penn State, I think every Northwestern fan would have, you know, ran and jumped and grabbed that immediately. But, you know, it's kind of strange because at this point we feel kind of disappointed that we're not 6-0. You know, as far as what's gone right, I think we've seen a lot from our young, talented players. You know, there have been reports, you know, the recruiting services, you never know whether to believe them or not, that Northwestern's recruiting has, you know, taken an uptick recently under Coach Fitz. And, you know, I think we're starting to see that on the field. You have a lot of young guys really performing well. You know, you have Trevor Siemian as one of our two quarterbacks. You know, he's been doing very well up until the Penn State game where he kind of struggled with Penn State's defense. You know, the big surprise for me, I think, as a fan, and how well actually our defense has performed. Now, we've given up some points in some games, but our run defense has been really good and really strong, which is, you know, shocking, you know, having seen, you know, past Northwestern squads just get pushed around and bullied, you know, with power running games. And I think the biggest surprise, you know, the other big surprise for Northwestern fans is actually our running game. You know, it's been, I think, since Tyrell Sutton that we've had a 1,000-yard rusher. And right now it looks like Venrick Mark is well on pace to do that. And between, you know, Venrick Mark and Kane Coulter and Mike Trumpy to a, you know, lesser degree, we have three guys that can, you know, potentially get 100 yards in a game. So it's kind of fun to watch. So it's a very different Northwestern team from last year. I mean, last year we, you know, and the years before that, we were kind of the pass wacky, you know, throw it for 8 yards, throw it for 7 yards, march down the field type team. Now we're running, you know, a read option, you know, option around the end, speed option game, and our passing game hasn't clicked as much as fans, you know, kind of hoped it would. And I guess that's the biggest disappointment is that, you know, our wide receivers really haven't had the big games that people thought they would have. So, you know, pretty much I'm very optimistic about the season. I thought even, you know, the Penn State game, there are some, you know, positive things to take out of it. And, you know, we actually put a column up on Off Tackle Empire today talking about some of those things. But, you know, overall, this is a great season. I mean, people were predicting 6-6 or 7-5, and it looks like we may exceed those expectations.
We had dreams of that until the Iowa game, and suddenly we were like, oh, right, remember when we were talking about 6 wins would be good? Let's get back to that. So that's kind of where Minnesota's sitting. You mentioned the running game, and that has been the biggest surprise for me for Northwestern, because it seemed like you guys had struggled for years to get a consistent running game. Persa was great throwing. You guys had all kinds of passing success. Is it just the personnel, or has there been any changes in particular that have really helped improve that running game this year?
Yeah, I think the biggest change overall is moving Venrick Mark to running back. In all honesty, that's the one biggest change. I mean, our offensive line, it's fairly experienced, particularly on the left side. Patrick Ward, Brian Mulroe on the left side are both seniors with multiple years of experience. But, you know, they were there last year, too, and last year's offensive line was actually more experienced, I think, than this year's. So I think the biggest change, in all honesty, is Venrick Mark. And, he came into Northwestern and played as a true freshman in the return game. They tried him at wide receiver, tried to get him the ball in space a little bit there for 2 years. It didn't work too well. They actually used him against Michigan last season as a linebacker to shadow Denard Robinson because he's got such crazy speed, and that worked a little bit. But his position in high school was running back, and I think they finally said, you know what, let's just give him a shot, and it's paid off. I mean, he's very small. I mean, he's probably 5'8", 180, if you're being generous. Probably less than that, but he's really fast. He gets behind the blockers and reads blockers well, and so it's hard to see him behind the offensive line. And, if he hits a hole, he's got the speed to, take to the house. I mean, if you've seen, some of his punt returns this year, against Syracuse or against Penn State last weekend, I mean, he is a really dynamic player. And so getting him the ball in the running game has really made a huge difference. And the other thing, too, is just, having Coulter back there as well. Coulter is such a great running threat, but you also have to respect his arm. And, he's a 65% plus completion percentage passer in the Northwestern offense. And that's one of the things that's frustrating about the Penn State game was, Coulter didn't get a lot of opportunities passed, didn't get a lot of touches in the QB position, and that might have changed the complexion of that game. But with Coulter's, ability to throw the ball and also ability to run the ball, it's hard for defenses to key in on just, Venrick Mark or just Kane Coulter. And so that's where the Northwestern offense can really kind of burn you if they're clicking on all cylinders.
So speaking of clicking on all cylinders, I mean, you guys are obviously kind of running this two-quarterback system right now, and Siemens has about twice as many throwing attempts as Coulter does. I think, at least my perception, maybe the perception outside of Northwestern coming into this season was that Kane Coulter really was just the second coming of Dan Persa. So, I mean, give us the perspective on why he's not the full-time quarterback. Is it because he's lacking in a certain area, or is it because Simeon's talented enough that he needs to get those reps?
I think it's more that Simeon's that talented. When you talk to, when you hear, Fitz or offensive coordinator Mick McCall talk about the Northwestern offense, they talk about, players, formations, sets, formation sets and plays and players. And, their goal is to get the 11 most talented guys on the field. You kind of saw that in the Indiana game where, Fitz and McCall kind of said, look, we have a quarterback in Simeon who can move the offense, and he has a big arm, and make no mistake, Simeon's got a bigger arm than Coulter, and he's also taller, so he sees the field a little bit better. But he said, look, we have these two great quarterbacks. They both bring different things to the table. They're both just tremendous athletes, we got to put them both on the field as much as possible because, you know, we got to play our 11 best guys. And I think, you know, the reason why Northwestern's gone to this 2QB system is because, you know, it's hard to prepare for. It's hard for an offense to say, all right, you know, or a defense to say, this is what we're going to see with Simeon, and then, you know, Coulter's in, you know, and vice versa. I think, you know, if you're looking at strengths and weaknesses, obviously Coulter's strength is going to be able to run, is being running the ball, or has been running the ball. And Simeon's just got a bigger arm. He's a bigger downfield threat. Against Penn State, he was inaccurate, and that's one of the reasons the offense stalled. And one of the reasons why some fans, myself included, are a little disappointed that Coulter didn't get a couple more attempts as quarterback and a couple more passing opportunities in that game. But really, it's all about the talent, and they're gonna play the most talented guys. And right now, we have two quarterbacks that can move the offense and move it in different ways, and so they'll both get considerable number of snaps.
A lot of talk about obviously how good Northwestern's offense is going to be, and if Minnesota's defense can match up. What about the other side of the ball? You know, the Gophers had a good offense up until the Iowa game when things completely fell apart, but they had been moving the ball fairly decently. Northwestern's defense looks like it's been a bit so-so. How do you see that matchup going?
You know, I think that's one side of the ball that really does scare me, in all honesty, in this, you know, this week's matchup. I mean, I think, you know, Minnesota, depending on which quarterback ends up playing, you know, could have the type of, you know, offense that really drives, you know, Northwestern's defense crazy. And that's basically one that is willing to take what we give, move the ball through completions, and, you know, kind of be patient. I don't think you'll have a lot of success, you know, running, you know, right up the gut against us, against Northwestern defense. That's something, you know, we've actually done pretty well at this season. You know, in the Penn State game, they had some good runs, but they got a lot of yardage on the ground late in the game after, you know, kind of after we turned it over on downs. They, you know, had a 25-yard run. But otherwise, I think the longest play from scrimmage they had the whole game before their final drive when the game was basically over was just 19 yards. So, you know, we've been improving and clamping down on big plays. You know, our secondary certainly was exposed against Syracuse, but I think that's just more of an aberration. If you look at the rest of the season, you know, we've played okay in coverage, but certainly there's going to be a lot of passes open up underneath just because our cornerbacks tend to play pretty far off the ball. You know, I think our linebackers are clearly one of our biggest strengths. And so, you know, the running game is something that, you know, we're focused on, you know, trying to take away from the other team. And overall this season, we've done it well. The big question is whether we get enough pressure on the QB to really affect the passing game. And against Penn State, we got some pressure on McGloin, but we weren't able to bring him down, and he was able to extend plays and worried about, you know, about Gray being the QB. Because of his ability, obviously, to tell. I mean, he's been generally a very accurate QB this season. And that accurate passing game, you know, particularly if you can just, you know, be patient and take, you know, the short 8, 10, 12-yard gains, eventually you're going to wear down our defense. And that's exactly what happened last week.
Well, we do expect, at least at this point, that Shortell is probably going to take most of the snaps, so we're going to hold you to that. We're going to assume that his accuracy is going to be able to beat the Northwestern defense. And so tell us, Chad, what is your prediction for this game with Northwestern coming off of a tough loss, coming into TCF Bank Stadium for homecoming? How do you think this one plays out?
Yeah, this series has been, you know, one of those series that, you know, both sides of the, you know, both fan bases, I think, look at it as, hey, that's a game we can win. And certainly, you know, even in the Brewster era, you know, there were some really tight, crazy games between these two squads. You know, obviously, I think, you know, Jared Hill's, you know, drastically improving your team. In fact, you know, our athletic director, Jim Phillips, is the guy that hired him at Northern Illinois. So, you know, we definitely respect Jerry Kill. That being said, you know, this year's Northwestern team has a different vibe around it than last year's. A lot of confidence, even a little cockiness, I think, which is, you know, kind of refreshing, frankly, to see. You know, I think the coaches realized that a lot of the onus for last week's loss to Penn State was on them and on their play calling. And so I think Northwestern is going to come out and really be aggressive on offense. I expect it to be kind of a high shooting game, but I'll take Northwestern by about 7 or 8 points. I'll say 34-27 or something like that. I just think that, you know, from what I've heard, at least in terms of Iowa being able to run it up the middle, and I think JB, pointed this out, you know, the run it right up the middle against Minnesota, I think Northwestern will have some success in the running game, and that'll then open up the passing game for both Simeon and Coulter. And so the offenses on both sides will be clicking, but I think Northwestern might pull this one out.
Chad, clearly that prediction is wrong, but nonetheless, we appreciate you taking the time to give it with us. No, seriously, appreciate the time being on. We hope you're wrong. We'll see what happens. Should be a good game on Saturday. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thanks. I enjoyed this. This was fun.
Well, that'll put a wrap on Double Guest Week, or at least on the Double Guests. Thanks to Chad, thanks to Adam for coming on to talk some Northwestern football. JD, both of them like the Wildcats. Shocking. I know, right? Wildcats favored by, I think, 3.5 I saw today. Apparently TCF Bank doesn't give you that 3 points back to make it a pick'em. So people are clearly seeing that despite the records being the same, and both teams coming off losses, that Northwestern is the better team thus far.
Yeah, I don't think we can be too surprised by that. And I think probably the biggest reason behind that line just has to be how Minnesota lost last week. I mean, I think that if, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, to Iowa, I think if that would have been a closer game, and again, you know, the odds makers probably aren't looking into the stats and everything else behind how that game got lopsided, but just looking at the score, because that's what they care about. But, you know, I think that a line of 3, 3.5, probably in Northwestern's favor, probably makes sense. So, I mean, obviously, we have a little bit different opinion. I think we definitely are, it's definitely in our favor that we are playing at home. I have some questions about what kind of team we are on the road, partially probably because we are so young. So 3.5 points, I think, is probably a pretty realistic spread.
A lot has changed since the first week of the season, but I know that Northwestern eked out a win against Syracuse, got some special teams touchdowns to help them in that one, or some special teams help. And for some reason, I can't help but thinking this is just a much better matchup for the Gophers than it was with Iowa, despite the Northwestern's offense. And again, I know Northwestern's suddenly getting the running game going, but it's not that, you know, gigantic offensive line and the big tailback running downhill on them. It's the spread offense and some guys with some good wheels. And Vernon Mark is definitely one of the most dangerous players in the Big Ten so far this year, but they still don't concern me as much. And I feel like it's a better opportunity for the Gophers defense. It's at home. They're going to have a chance to hopefully get to the quarterback and rush the passer, which Northwestern hasn't thrown the ball well. I just feel like overall, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. They're angry after the game at Iowa, and that this is just a better matchup for them.
I agree with you. Yes, Northwestern has been a much better team running the ball than they have been throwing the ball. I think the difference though for me is I don't think that the power running game that Iowa brings to the table is the same type of running game that Northwestern brings to the table. And I think we knew going into Iowa that we were going to have trouble with that type of power run game. We hadn't been in a situation yet where a team team was really able to force their will on us in that way. I don't think, and again, I haven't seen them as much as, you know, Chad and Adam have, but I don't think that Northwestern has the horses to be able to force that kind of power running game like Iowa did on our front four.
No, and the other thing, too, is he talked about them on punt returns. I mean, they're averaging, like, 27 yards to punt return, something just insane like that. Like, they've been so good and have had, you know, such great field position advantage because of that punt return. But it's one of those deals where if you can just contain those guys a bit, yeah, 9 returns for 247 yards and 2 touchdowns through 6 games is pretty incredible. They're obvious, they're almost more than double the next closest team in Nebraska at about 15.5. So, they've used that to their advantage. They've done well with it. And part of it's too probably just that they're Northwestern, and I feel like no matter what the records, what the scores have been, that Minnesota should be able to beat the Wildcat.
Well, it's probably good that Christian Eldred earlier in the season was practicing that punt off the side of his foot that he shanks almost directly out of bounds, because he might need that in this game to keep the ball away from Vendrick Mark.
Yeah, a 20-yard punt is better than a punt return touchdown every time. I'm pretty sure that's mathematically true. On the other side of the ball, looks like we're not going to get Marquise back, but I feel like this is maybe a chance for Max Shortell to get some redemption. Not going to have the hostile crowd. You know, he played so well in that Syracuse game when he got a lot of pressure with the home crowd behind him. It just feels like maybe an opportunity for him to have kind of a bounce back game, get some confidence back, get the offense moving again, you know, and get that passing game going. I still believe obviously that Marquise is the best answer for this team at quarterback as the season goes on, just because of his versatility running. But we might not have seen the last of Max, and he's, you know, I think he's got a chance to put on a good performance for us on Saturday.
I do think you're right. A couple of quick updates that have just actually hit Twitter just in the last couple of minutes since we've been recording, from Marcus Fuller. Fuller says Gray wasn't wearing the green shirt, which indicates that a player is injured during practice today. So essentially based on that, he's cleared. Kill is saying they're preparing to have both players. And Marcus pointed out, and I think we would probably all agree, even if Marquise is able to go, he's not going to probably get the bulk of the snaps. I would guess maybe he's, you know, going to get some plays, maybe a series here and there, but I would still expect to see Shortell get, you know, 75-80% of the total snaps for the offense.
Yeah, the problem with this injury for Q, you know, if it was an upper body thing, it'd be one thing, but an ankle injury, you know, so much of his value is with his mobility, and you got to think it's going to be hampered in a big way by that ankle injury. So even if he can play, you know, how effective is he going to be running the ball? But I guess we'll find out. Good news that at least if he's being cleared to play, that thing's healing, and hopefully, if not this week, but next week or the one after, he's going to be back close to 100% the way it goes. I mean, looking at the matchups, anything else we're missing? Anything else we're not talking here? I got to say I'm surprised at playing Northwestern that we have more white speed receivers than they do. But, you know, it's just how Minnesota rolls.
That is. You know, it's got to roll. It's the balance of power as far as white speed receivers go have to come back around to us at some point. And it looks like that's this season. As far as other matchups, you know, I didn't really get a chance. I wanted to ask Chad a little bit more about the defense, and we sort of kind of stuck to the offense a little bit, but there isn't much about this Northwestern defense that concerns me. They don't stop people. You know, they're a team that gives up a lot of yards and quite a few points. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that makes me nervous about Northwestern from their defensive standpoint is our offense. I'm just not sure that we have an offensive game plan that we really can assert on another team right now. You know, we've tried to be that power running team. It's worked a little bit in a couple of games, but certainly didn't come anywhere close to working against an actual Big Ten defense like Iowa. I'm hopeful that we can assert that type of a running game against Northwestern. But there aren't too many things about Northwestern's defense that make me real nervous. They're a team that's prone to giving up points.
Yeah, I one thing I'm going to be interested to keep an eye on is the Gophers running back depth chart and to see who gets carries after Donnell Kirkwood, because, boy, we were hoping, you know, James Gillen was going to solve that issue of only having one guy we could trust to carry the rock, but really it's been Kirkwood so far and nobody else. But David Cobb got into that Iowa game, caught a pass, had a run. He's a kid who I think has a lot of raw potential. Put on, I think, 10 or 15 pounds since his freshman season at 220 and just looks like a monster, but still has good wheels. He's intriguing. You know, maybe all is not lost with Gillum. He can bounce back. You know, Devon Wright still is a guy that's got some wheels. We need a second back to help Donnell Kirkwood, and certainly with a Gray hobble, they're at least not 100%. They need somebody else to be a threat. Besides him, I'm forgetting KJ May too, but KJ's good, I think, at what he does, but he's not a between the tackles guy. But I don't know. Do you see another back stepping up to help out?
You know, I'd love to, you know, I still am hopeful, like you mentioned, that, you know, early in the season, we thought we might get to see some James Gillum. And I mean, the guy just has not done anything positive in games. He hasn't really gotten any runs that I can recall in the last couple of games. So, I mean, we have to assume that he's not getting it done in practice as well. But, yeah, from the running back standpoint, you know, outside of the Marquise running the ball in the first couple of games, we haven't really had any threats. You know, I would expect that at some point, you know, the game, we never obviously got to the point in the game at Iowa where we could start to see maybe some of the different looks or some of the different weapons or tricks that that Lime Grover might throw when it's needed. You know, I would expect maybe that we see a little bit more of KJ May, you know, whether it be right out of the backfield or on some jet sweeps or bubble screens or something like that. Marcus Jones has got speed. Obviously, that could be interesting out of the backfield. But as far as a pure running back, you know, unless Kirkwood can carry the load, I'm not sure who else is really available that's going to be able to pick up some of the slack unless Gillum can start to actually live up to some of that hype that we thought he was going to have coming into the season.
Yeah, it'd be nice. They need to do that. I was also, again, sitting at the Iowa game, it looked like our receivers weren't getting open, but I've had a bunch of people say that watching the game on TV, they were open, especially in that first half, and Shortell wasn't getting it to them. So you had talked about their defense not being impressive, I think, as well. In their secondary, this is an opportunity where certainly not going to be the best secondary they face all year. And I think guys like Barker and, you know, DCT and some of the rest and Frifty are going to have a chance to get open and make some plays downfield. I think we could see the passing game return a bit here against Northwestern.
Yeah, no, I think it should be a good matchup. And, I mean, because I think it's going to be close. You know, Chad said 7 or 8 points. I'm curious if it's really going to be that. That actually seems like a pretty significant win for Northwestern as far as I'm concerned coming into Minnesota. I think it's going to be more like a 3 or 4 point game, and I'm hopeful that it's going to be in the Gophers' favor.
Well, I'm hopeful. So we're all hopeful. I heard not quite a sellout. We're like 2,000 or 3,000 short. Is that about what you're hearing?
Yeah, I've heard the same so far.
I think they were offering the $20 tickets. Those still might be available. I know some student section seats still available. So if you have a student ID, want to go to the game, it'd be a good idea to get there. The student section has been awesome so far this year, and hopefully that continues. It looks like it could be a bit of a blustery and rainy day in homecoming, but so hopefully people will pack the bank and give us an atmosphere. Man, it's too bad we're not getting any more night games. That Syracuse game was incredible. It's hard to mimic that at 11 in the morning, but hopefully Gopher fans will get out and do their best on a Saturday morning. This will be your second trip to the bank this year? Have you made a trip up yet?
I have not been able to. I was very close a couple of other games, but I had some family situations that sort of got in the way, so I'm very anxious to get up to the bank this year.
I think you'll enjoy it. They've got beer now. Beer Garden to the place to be. So get there often before halftime.
I like beer.
Well, that'll about wrap it up again. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
I just was saying I like beer.
I know that you do. I know a lot of folks do. That'll about wrap it up for us, I think. It's a double guest podcast, Blowout Northwestern edition. Went off without a hitch, so to speak, at least as much as it can when, Jeremy and I are running things. But, that'll about do it for us. Game is an 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday. Wait, where is this one on TV? I haven't even seen it. Is it Big Ten Network, I'm guessing, or did they put it somewhere else?
Yes, Big Ten. Jeez, boy, you caught me off guard there. I do believe it's Big Ten Network.
I was all ready to say Big Ten Network, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not even sure where that is. Let's pretend it's Big Ten Network. If it's not, you've probably got a remote control and one of those guide things. Just hit that and look and trust that you'll find it. But if you can get and hopefully see a victory. So they're back in action. We'll see if Mark Lee Gray is able to play, and if so, how much. But that'll do it for us. Again, thanks to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com and Chad from Off Tackle Empire. Hopefully you read those two sites often. Read ours as well. We'll have plenty more coming up before game day. As always, for JD, I am Jeffrick. Stay classy and go Gophers.
The game's actually on ESPN2. Sky Umaha.